Friday, January 5th, President got into quite an analysis of the congressional opposition arising out of his discussions yesterday and then the leadership meeting today, which apparently went very well, although his reaction afterwards was quite negative. He feels that the reason the Congress are so negative and opposing him on everything, particularly Vietnam, is because they look bad themselves now, and they're trying to untangle that by putting some blame on the president. He feels strongly that they're taking the wrong approach and saying they need more buildings and more staff. Rather, they should be operating more effectively. He's taken the lead in reorganizing and thinks Congress should follow suit. He's told Ehrlichman to take that approach on TV this weekend. He says Berger's overhauling the court system too, and now the third branch should also move to overhaul and improve itself. He wants Timmons to change his approach and work Congress on an affirmative basis, not negative and defensive. He shouldn't look like he's hanging crepe all the time. He's obviously got some doubts about Timmons, mainly because he's not strong and positive enough. And feels we've got to change our tune, get away from the supplicant position. We won the election, so we should let them come to us. He got into PR tactics with Kissinger also. Told him that since he had scheduled a meeting with Mansfield, he would also have to talk to Scott and Ford. Asked them to stand up and scream treason at the opponents, hitting the opponents for undermining the negotiations. Then, as the president thought about that, he said, no, we shouldn't do that because that would hurt us in Paris. Henry was saying at that point that we should try to get some reaction. The president then told him to call Colson and tell him what he wanted hit, attacking the patriotism and that sort of thing. But then he backed off of it again and said we should not do it, which was also my view. He's concerned about Laird, who took the position apparently yesterday that any agreement, no matter how bad it is better than no agreement. He's now sent a letter to the president making that point, so he's on record with it. The typical Laird device, which he's done in every crunch period. Kissinger made the point that no president since Lincoln has faced such concerted opposition of the whole establishment jumping on him at every slippage. The president said, no, it's not just the opposition. It's their way of getting even for his winning the 61%. He told Kissinger to tell Mansfield when he met with him that the POW deal alone won't work, that we've tried that and they won't take it. Ziegler then came in to review the plan for the briefing. He's going to cover the reorganization and then said he wanted to repeat what the president said on Vietnam at the breakfast. The president said no, that the press doesn't sit on those meetings. There's no reason why they should. Ziegler pushed it a little, and the president then agreed on the basis that he should make the following points, that we have to proceed with the policy that we have. We feel that it's right. We should refer to the progress we've made over the last 4 years. Then he should repeat that the May 8th policy is in effect, with the objective of the POW ceasefire and assuring South Vietnam of a way to control their own political future. Then he should build a chronology that on May 8th we mined and bombed. On October 8th we had a breakthrough in Paris with an agreement in principle, still with details to work out. As a result of that, the president suspended the bombing above the 20th parallel. Then on October 26th, while we were still trying to work out the details, North Vietnam announced the agreement on those issues, and Kissinger, being forced to, confirmed it. After the election, then North Vietnam backed away, imposed conditions, which were not what they had said to begin with, that were unacceptable. And these were in relation to POW, ceasefire supervision, and a number of other dilatory tactics. So Kissinger was sent back to Paris, presumably for 3 days. He stayed for 10, and it was clear during that period that there was a stalling pattern. In the meantime, they were building up capability in North Vietnam and moving troops into South Vietnam. It was clear that there was no agreement, that they had backed away. So Kissinger returned, and the president removed the suspension of bombing, which he had ordered suspended on October 8th. Then 2 days before the new year, North Vietnam agreed to return to the negotiations. So the president again suspended the bombing and said that we'll remain suspended as long as there are serious negotiations. He won't be optimistic or pessimistic, but there is a chance to end the war, not just to withdraw, and that's what we're working for in the negotiations. Then you get into the question of whether Kissinger supported the bombing based on Kraft's column yesterday saying he didn't. Then the president told Ron to deny the Kraft column. Then he, after Ron left, he told me to call Kissinger and ask him how we should answer the Kraft thing. Kissinger said, well, I always say that the president and I were completely together on it, but that as a question of principle, I don't catalog what I recommend to the president. But on this point, I will say that I was in total agreement. Ziegler should just shoot it down on that basis. We need to be more definite on this, the president feels. And when Ziegler hit Henry on it a little later, Henry backed off of Ziegler shooting it down and said, well, I don't catalog the positions that I take with the president. The other item of interest today was the president's concern about our Colson-Ziegler-Timmons capability. He feels the president can't take the whole load in the Oval Office, that he has to assume that someone else is going to grab things and take the initiatives from a PR standpoint the way Colson now does. He called me tonight from Camp David after he'd gone up there and got back to that again, said the main thing to consider now is whether the attack operation is adequate, or are we dismantling too much in view of the position we have with the Congress. We should consider the people we have, who will be useful, and be able to move for us when necessary. After he meets with Kissinger tomorrow and gets that settled, then the key thing is the PR side. Maybe Kissinger should have someone with him in Paris to tell him not to smile and so on. We need to get Ziegler and Timmons and all together, get a PR point, not just the hot news. Maybe we should stiffen up our apparatus if it's not adequate. He wants me to talk to Ziegler over the weekend regarding the handling of the PR over the next week. We must not be always on the defensive, especially when the Democrats are acting their usual way anyway. The overriding point is how it all comes out, so we shouldn't worry about the Canadian Parliament or our Congress or anything else. Thinks I also ought to talk to McGregor. Said he had talked to Jerry Ford, who has had to make a deal with Wilson because Brown won't fight for the campaign committee chairmanship, so Wilson's agreed he'll resign 3 days before the March dinner. The president said, okay, we'll accept that deal if, in addition, they agree to appoint Brown as the recruitment man now, and then if they do, we'll just ignore Wilson. End of January 5th.